You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org. This is a live recording from the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference.
Hey, it's Jimmy Carboni from the Heritage Radio Network. I'm here live at the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference. And my next guest is Kathy Gunst, a cookbook author and radio journalist. Hey, how are you, Kathy?
I am good. I like your little hangout here.
This is Roger Smith, a little pop-up radio station.
It's awesome. Sit in here and watch the snowstorm. Like, very cozy.
Yeah, we usually record in Bushwick, Brooklyn at Roberta's, and we're out here for this.
I've been on the show with Katie.
Yeah, Katie Kiefer. She's here today.
Yeah, I know. I just did a workshop with her.
So what are you doing at the Roger Smith Conference?
I was just part of a panel. What was it called? We were supposed to be talking about cookbooks versus digital media, but it became a spirited conversation about how one can possibly earn a living writing cookbooks, and is there a future to cookbooks, and, you know, are we all screwed? Am I allowed to say that?
You can say whatever you want.
I said it. So it was a cool conversation, and I'm here to hear what some other people have to say. I mean, it's certainly lean times for cookbook authors, so it's challenging, and my voice was about being passionate about what you do. Everybody was talking about the buck, you know. Do you like that sound effect, Jimmy?
I like that.
Yeah, I like to build that in there. you know, just like, yeah, we all want to earn a living and we all want to do what we love, but you got to stay connected to writing about something you really care about.
So let's go back and talk a little about you. I know you had a radio show in Boston for a while.
Yeah, well, I it's not my show. I am the resident chef for a public radio show called Here and Now. It's out of Boston, out of WBUR, and it's heard on 175 public radio stations across the country. And I get to talk about all kinds of cool things. I interview cookbook authors. I go out in the field. I was in Eugene, Oregon last year at an American Truffle Festival and followed people around as they trained their dogs to hunt truffles in Oregon. Just did a radio piece about that. Lots of fun stuff in and around food.
Do you use sound effects on the radio?
Like that?
Yeah.
You know what I do sometimes?
Or do you let things sizzle?
Well, I used to cook live on the radio, but that's a different story. But what I'll do, and I've taught radio journalism and interviewing at ICP and some different places, is I always tell people that you can use sound just with your hands and your mouth to kind of get a point across. For example, I might say, I cooked ramps, which are wild leeks, and when you put the green that you've just picked, they're so fresh. This happens in the spring in New England. And when you put one of these fresh ramps, these greens, into a hot, hot skillet with a little bit of olive oil, they puff up and they go pfft. So there's a sound effect.
Yeah, but you used to cook live on the air too, didn't you?
I did. You know, before, which war was it? Before the news got completely crazy, I used to cook live on Here and Now. And what we would do is we would go into the employee kitchen. So it was just this little galley kitchen. We'd lock everybody out. The host of the show would run from the studio into the kitchen. And I would cook something in real time. So we'd get it started. I'd talk you through, oh, today we're going to do lobster in a red sauce. And I'm chopping it up. And I'm cooking it, and then we go back to the news and we hear all about how horrible the world is and all the terrible things, and then at the end of the show we come back and the dish is cooked and I take you through it, and you've kind of cooked something in real time. And I think it kind of empowered people to think, hey, I could cook, I could do that. That's always the goal for me as a writer and as a radio food person, to get people inspired to get back into the kitchen.
Well, I like radio. I like listening
to it. Look
at
you. You do.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Get to hang
out and meet new friends and old friends like you.
You don't have to worry about your jeans and your, you know, your hair. Nothing.
We're naked.
Here we are with the fake fireplace.
And the window on Lexington Avenue.
Everyone on Lexington Avenue can see us naked. Look at this guy. He's looking in. I guess we look good.
But so cooking on the radio. And so how did you get into it in the first place? Cooking, cookbook, author?
Oh, well, I always wanted to be a writer. When I was a little kid, I had diaries. Then they were called journals. Then I studied literature in college. And then I quit school for a year, and I went to London, and I went to the Cordon Bleu, mostly to get away from college and try something new. And I loved it. I loved cooking. I'm giving you the cliff notes here, okay? And then when I got back to New York, I was living here at the time, I got a job at a restaurant, because that's what you do after you go to cooking school. And I hated it. I hated cooking for those numbers and the repetitiveness of it, and I found it physically really challenging. And I got a job at a magazine, and I every day would go to the head editor and I'd be like, can I write? I was, you know, 20.
Which magazine?
Diversion Magazine, a travel and arts magazine for physicians. A guy named Steve Birnbaum. I think it still exists. And I can't, can I write? And he's like, what do you know? You know, I'm 20. I know everything, right? And I said, well, you know, I just came back from the Cordon Bleu. I was in cooking school. He's like, okay, so write me a food piece. And I wrote my very first food piece. This must have been in 1977. I'm older than I look. And I was hooked. It was like, wow, this isn't just about what's on the plate. This is about sociology and anthropology. And this is about everything that went before this plate happened and who made it and where they're from and who was their grandmother. And I was just in deep. And I've written 14 cookbooks and still here doing it.
What's your most recent cookbook?
It's called, thank you for asking, Jimmy. It's called Notes from a Maine Kitchen, and it is called a literary cookbook because it's essays and recipes. I take you through the calendar year, so January is about going smelt fishing on a river in Maine. I had never been ice fishing before. I always thought it was the stupidest thing anyone could do. Like, why would you want to freeze your ass off and get a few fish? It was utterly thrilling. I loved it. I would do it again in a minute. And then the book takes you through the seasons. It's about gardening. It's about, I interviewed a fifth generation lobsterman way up in Maine, and a lot of cool essays about a state that still has a very specific sense of place and some very strong food traditions and a place that's pretty unique still.
Where do you live in Maine?
I live in a little town called South Berwick. It's near the New Hampshire border, and brought up two kids there. Left my job at Food and Wine magazine, went for a year, and it's been 31 years. We're still there. But I like being in this big city, too.
I think I saw your most recent book at the IACP conference last year.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it would look pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice. It's pretty, and I got to write my heart out. I call it my love letter to Maine. I just loved writing this book. I can't figure out what to do next. So give me some suggestions.
Did you have any recipes about blueberries in that book?
I did. I do.
What are some of the recipes?
Oh, I have a spectacular blueberry pie where I add a little bit of grated lemon zest, because lemon and blueberries are really good friends. They like each other. What else do I have with blueberries in there?
Because when I think of New England, especially northern New England, I think of blueberries.
Of course you do.
Because I grew up in Massachusetts, New Hampshire.
Where?
Haverhill, Mass, on the border.
Oh, so not too far.
Yeah, and up in New Hampshire.
Well, way up Maine, it's just a lot of people earn their living through blueberries. You know, there are certain towns where all people do is pick, process, and freeze the wild blueberries, the little tiny ones that are so tart and full of antioxidants and really good for you. Those things are great. Oh, I know what's another great recipe is. I make a homemade wild Maine blueberry soda. So you make a syrup where you simply take the wild berries, make a sugar syrup, add the berries, strain it, and add it to, well, seltzer or Prosecco, sparkling wine. You put it with rum and make cocktails. It's great stuff.
It sounds great.
Yeah, it's
really I always want to do more with blueberries, but I feel like it gets a bad rap. It's kind of like pomegranate juice because it seems like it's out there a lot.
No, but it's super good for you.
And there's blueberry beers.
Oh yeah, they're kind of going nuts with them, and now they're drying them and adding them to granolas and cereals and cookies and supposedly, you know, going to save the world.
All right. Well, a little bit of Maine, and where'd you grow up?
I grew up right here in Westchester, not far outside of the city, so I was a city girl, always went to camp in Maine. You know, I was one of those New York girls that went to camp in Maine and never, ever thought I'd end up living there and raising two kids there and calling it home. But my heart is still here. I love this place.
Let's talk about food. You did radio for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the role of food radio is now going forward? Like this, our show, Heritage Radio Network, We've got over 25 shows about everything from cheese to farming to beer.
I think it's an explosion. I think that as the world is shifting, as we're becoming more digital, I mean, it used to just be that if you wanted to learn about food, you got a magazine or you bought a book. And that's all shifting a lot. And I think the thing that's so fabulous about radio is storytelling. I mean, here we are. No one can see us, but hopefully we've just taken some people who are listening to this on a trip to Maine, and maybe they're remembering going blueberry picking as a kid, or maybe they're remembering that classic book, Blueberries for Sal, when they were children. And so their minds are engaged, and it's not about what my makeup looks like or what our set looks like, right? Doesn't matter what this place, but that we're telling them stories and they're driving or they're at home cooking and they're listening to this. So I think food and radio have huge potential, and I can't tell you the number of people that come to me and they say, I want to go on radio. I want to do restaurant reviews on radio. I want to talk about cookbooks on radio. It's such a great storytelling medium, and so much of food is about storytelling. So I think you're going to see more and more of it in Heritage Radio. It's just super cool.
Well, thanks for coming on and talking to me. Kathy Guntz, cookbook author, radio journalist. I'm Jimmy Carboni on the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, iTunes, and Stitcher for more. Visit our website, heritageradionetwork.org, for all of our 30-plus weekly podcasts. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.